Here is the way Michael Hollinger sets the scene for his play, Incorruptible. It's the interior of the chapter house of the monastery of Brissot, France. Stone walls jut out at odd angles. Areas of shadow are broken by sporadic shafts of light. Books everywhere, on shelves, on the floor. The skeleton of a saint lies upon an altar in a deep red cloth. On one side of the stage is a table behind which sits Brother Martin, a stern-looking monk in a well-worn habit, who makes notes on a sheaf of parchment pages. A peasant woman stands in front of the table. That from the official script for Michael Hollinger's Incorruptible. And here's the way Hollinger describes the premise. He says, "Welcome to Brissot, France, about 1250 A.D. The river flooded again last week. The chandler's shop just burned to the ground. Nobody's heard of the wheelbarrow yet, and Saint-Foy, the patron of the local monastery, hasn't worked a miracle in 13 years. In other words, the Dark Ages still look pretty dark. All eyes turn to the Pope, whose promised visit will surely encourage other pilgrims to make the trek and restore the abbey to its former glory." That is, until a rival church claims to possess the relics of Saint-Foy, and their bones are working miracles. All seems lost until the destitute monks take a lesson from a larcenist one-eyed minstrel who teaches them an outrageous new way to pay old debts. In 1996, the Arden Theater of Philadelphia premiered Michael Hollinger's play Incorruptible, directed by Terry Nolan. Nolan sat down with Hollinger for an interview and asked, "I'm aware that this is the first full-length play you've written." Hollinger answers, "I wrote a play that preceded it that I buried after about two or three drafts. It had many interesting things, but it did not begin with a healthy embryo. By contrast, Incorruptible began with a very healthy embryo. The basic idea was sound. Therefore, the challenge became how to not mess it up, how to realize the basic idea. This required many drafts, many readings, and two major workshops of the play in order to find its final form. And so I think of Incorruptible as my apprenticeship as a playwright. It began as a play where there were no miracles, only shams. And I gradually realized that the play wouldn't have integrity unless it could comprise the paradox of sham and miracle. Only then did it start to fulfill its potential, because are there shams in the world? Yes. Are there miracles? Yes. How do we know the difference? When miracles occur, is there causality? What do these inexplicable events mean? I was more interested in the questions than being able to simply write off all miracles as shams." Nolan continued, "It's amazing to listen to the play now, how confident your use of language is, your language, your rhythms, how funny it is to hear this play out loud. As you were writing it, stylistically, what were you thinking about? What were you trying to grapple with?" And Hollinger replies, "The play began at a time when there were a lot of televangelist scandals going on. And so religion, popular Christian religion, was at a pretty low ebb in America. All religious leaders are in it for the money was a kind of public consciousness. So that's the kind of world I started writing the play in. Early on in the writing process, however, I felt that the church figures had become too easy of a target for me, and I felt outside the play, like I was simply judging the characters. And it wasn't until I started thinking about the integrity of their vision and their mission, really their high ideals, that the play became interesting to me. And that became a much more intriguing knot to try to untie, and allowed me to identify with the characters and the dilemma that they're in, rather than judge them. I'm always interested in the baser matter and the way that high spiritual ideals, love, creativity, faith, are always brought down to earth, and how human beings muck about with very tangible things in their quest for these higher values. So in Incorruptible, there's that tension between the loftiest spiritual ideals and the fact that we need to make money in order to stay afloat and do the good deeds. Those who know Diva Theater at the Old Brick in Scranton won't be surprised that they've constructed a monastery in their black box space, and we'll be right there with the monks in their dilemma. Diva Theater will present Incorruptible this weekend and next at the Old Brick Theater in Scranton. Paige Belitsky and Bob Belitsky are co-founders of Diva Theater, and Paige directs and Bob plays the abbot, and they stopped in at the WVIA studios.
We started the Diva Theater, my husband and I, back in 1997, and we've been doing a lot of original works because we are a theater company that loves the written word, and we like to promote local playwrights. We have poets that come in and use our space, and for things that are published, we like to do irreverent comedies and dark dramas. So we do a little film, we dabble a little bit in film, but all in all, it's just come on in and have a good time.
And Bob, you're such a wonderful tech person in addition to everything else. Describe the space for somebody who doesn't know Diva.
The Old Brick is this small black box. It's about 60 seats total. And everything is with a low ceiling. So, you know, it sort of challenges you as a technical director. You know, we run all the lights and sound from my little cubby hole and toward the back. But it's fun. I mean, it's really great. And you can do some really creative things. The big advantage that we have over a lot of other spaces is that the audience is just a stone's throw away. I mean, it's just a couple of feet away. So you can really bring out the drama. You can bring out the comedy.
How have you decided to help us? Are you going to help us laugh at this very stressful time?
You know, we do some really dark productions. And the last one we did was very dark. An original by Jeff Bohm. Very well received, but usually after something that dark, you got to follow it with a comedy. And a lot of comedies, well, they're okay, but we like something that is thoughtful. And we found one. It came to us through one of our board of directors, and I read it, and by page 3, I knew I wanted it. It's called Incorruptible. And if you don't know what that is, it's a body that has passed on, that does not decay. It's a saint. It's all about the monks in the monastery. The play takes place in Prisot, France, in 1250. So it is a dark comedy during the Dark Ages. It's so funny because most of the cast are monks, and we do make some silliness with those monks.
Oh, yeah, it's a farce.
Who's this saint, and what does the saint represent?
Well, the saint at the monastery is called Saint Foy, but the problem with this Saint Foy is that she hasn't provided a miracle for the monastery in 13 years. So they're in trouble, but they know if they get the Pope to come and say a prayer that the pilgrims will come and the money will come, the donations. Well, the Pope gets sidetracked because someone else claims they have Saint Foy. So a one-eyed minstrel enters the picture, comes up with this diabolical plan, and it gets crazy. There are bones and skeletons everywhere, and there are people digging up graves, and it's very, very funny.
In your space?
Yes, in our space.
Lighting. Sound effects. It must be an amazing show that way, too.
Well, there are a few sound effects. It is mostly lights up, lights down, but it's a challenge for the audio as well. You know, Michael Hollinger, the author, has a lot of, there's almost as much stage directions in the script as there is dialogue.
He was very specific. In his intro, in the script, he has a segment where he talks about thank you and acknowledgments about how he could not have done this without all of his Christian friends. And it took him 10 years to get this up and running. So we've treated it very respectfully and tried to follow everything that he wanted to be done. And it did it and enhanced it amazingly. And the only concern for the director, who is me, is trying to get the aesthetic of 1250 in a monastery. So our set designer is making us a monastery. It is amazing what she has done.
And are the monks in cowls and cinctures and the rest?
Yes, cowls and hoods and there's crosses, and the one-eyed minstrel is in bloomer pants, and oh, it's just wonderful. And there's two women. One is young and beautiful and sweet and plays a very important role in the plot line. And then the other one is her mother, who is an absolute riot. She has some of the best lines in the show.
When we hear the word minstrel, we think singing. Is this a singing minstrel?
A minstrel plays the mandolin, sings the song that the playwright wanted, and his girlfriend, wife, and I can't give away too much on that, does the dancing, and there's some juggling in there. It's really fun. It's just fun from beginning to end.
And yet you say that you like thinking comedy. Is it something that helps us think about our times as dark times, or is there any reflection on?
Yeah, I think you can make a connection of they're at a point where they've tried everything, and things are just not going their way. They've been good. They've obeyed the rules. They've been faithful. And a lot of people today can think, you know, I try to be a good person. I go to work. I pay my taxes. Why isn't this happening for me? And it all boils down to maybe we all need a little more faith, and maybe we just need a miracle.
Two acts, one act, three acts? What?
Two acts. The first act is all about the monks and the peril that they're in. And at the very end of that act, the minstrel comes up with a plan. Act two, you see how the plan has worked for them because they go from dark, dingy, and poor to rich. But then it all comes tumbling down.
Does the Pope actually appear?
At the very, very, very end of the play, the bells are tolling. Everyone's running around getting ready because the Pope is on his way. And the play ends. Yep.
Waiting for Godot.
Yes. Yes.
We need what you described at the start, Paige, and that is we do certainly need to laugh, but we also need some substance.
If it isn't clever, you can just stay home and watch TV. But you need a writer who's clever. And this is based on true fact. Back in the Dark Ages, what goes on in this play happened all the time.
Selling of indulgences.
So there's a lot of truth to this. There was a lot of research that this playwright did. And he wrote a very clever comedy.
Here at WVIA, over there is where we store the chant CDs. Is there any chant?
Oh, between acts. Yeah, that's what we're using for music.
Yes, I wanted all male voices because it's a monastery. And
acapella.
Yeah, and so I kept thinking Gregorian chant, but it wasn't exactly what I wanted. But Bob did some research, and he found me French chanting. So we've gone as authentic as we can.
We have recordings right behind you of music of St. Hildegard of Bingen, who was an abbess in the 12th century.
And we have that in the play. There's a surprise visit by an abbess, and I can't give too much away, but it's a plot twist that is really hysterical. And, you know, I can't say enough about the cast. It's very rare that I get to have Bob on stage. So I'm very pleased that Bob plays the abbot at the monastery. And there's nothing like, you know, being the director of your husband on stage. And then we have the fabulous Sam Falbo. Joe Palumbo, who did Diva Theater with us when we first opened many years ago, and took a break to raise a family, is back again, so we're pleased to have him. Jason Belak, who is wonderful. He's worth the price of admission. Justin O'Hearn, another, you know, local actor who does a great job. And Letizia Wickla, who is brand new to us. She's never been on stage before, and she is amazing. She has done a beautiful job. The peasant woman who I said steals the show, she's got all the funny lines, is Betsy Seaforth, who's a terrific comedic actress. And then the abbess who makes the surprise visit is Maggie Roche, who is amazing. She plays opposite Bob, and it's good chemistry.
What's it like channeling your inner abbot, Bob?
Well, the abbot is one of those folks, you know, the classic, you are very, very, very good at what you do. And so what they do, they promote you. And so his heart is really in baking bread. But now he's the abbot. And, you know, he may not have been the best choice, but he's strong. I mean, he runs the house with a firm hand, but I think he'd rather be baking bread.
Yeah, bread plays a very pivotal role in this play.
What about the run then?
Okay, so we do two weekends. We open November 7th, so 7, 8, 14, and 15 are Friday and Saturdays at 7:30. November 9 and 16 are Sunday matinees at 2. 126 West Market Street in Scranton. Can't miss us. We're next door to Sterner's Restaurant. And all they have to do is give the theater a call, 570-209-7766. And your reservations are automatically confirmed.
Director Paige Belitsky and actor Bob Belitsky, who are co-founders of Diva Theater, speaking with us about Michael Hollinger's play, Incorruptible, that will run two weekends, this one and next, November 7th, 8th, 14th and 15th, Fridays and Saturdays at 7:30 p.m. And then there are two Sunday matinees, November 9th and 16th at 2. That's 126 West Market Street in Scranton, the Diva Theater or the Old Brick Theater. And if you'd like to make reservations, area code 570-209-7766, area code 570-209-7766.